Okay, what do you think the civil rights movement, the changes that it made in education?
I think a lot, civil rights to me is a lot like unions. They have their time and their place, civil rights movement. And to me, it's kind of incomprehensible to believe that people would be treated differently because of skin color, because I don't intentionally, or I'm not aware of treating any student differently because of their skin color. I have one of my students, I think she's Filipino, I'm not even sure. Mm-hmm. To me, she's American. That's the only kind of kids I teach. But she wanted to do something, and I said, no, have a seat. She said, you're just doing that to me because I'm foreign. And I said, foreign? How are you foreign? She said, my skin's different than yours. And I said, you've got the same complexion as my younger daughter. I said, you're both olive complexion. What's the deal? I said, are you trying to make a distinction? And she was playing, but she was really trying to use it. Now, I've seen that attitude. When I was teaching middle school, I had a little boy who later became one of my dearest, dearest students. But I had told him and two of his little cohorts to sit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were survivors, mine and a friend's. They were supposed to sit down, do their work. Well, the three of them got up playing around. Two of them I was able to get back into their seat. And I think it's fifth grade. And he was just out of control. And I finally took him by the arms, put him in the seat, and sat down. And I said, you will sit down. And he turned to me and said, you're just doing this because I was a slave. And he's echoing what he had heard. I know he was. What he had heard somewhere, that the reason that black people were treated differently. And I said, no, I'm treating you this way because you're acting like a jerk. No, you're treating me this way because I was a slave. I said, okay, let's back up. Who was your owner? He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, if you were a slave, you had an owner. Who was your owner? And, of course, he couldn't, you know. And it's a point I try to make in my classes when we're doing Aquino, the slave who was brought over to the United States, and he wound up being a very well-educated young man and writing his journals of what had gone on. And I introduced his journal by talking to the kids and saying, has anyone in here ever experienced slavery? And, of course, nobody had. And I said, okay, has anyone in here ever owned another human being? Of course they hadn't. And I said, okay, so when people start talking slavery and slave owners, do you know what they're talking about? Oh, yeah. I said, how do you know? And, of course, their concepts were all completely skewed and all that. You know, yeah, I think the civil rights movement was important because all people should be treated equally. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what color your skin is. You can be racist and you can be bigoted, as I think is going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Mm-hmm. Because any man who stands up, I don't care what color, if he's pink with purple polka dots, and says that the Jewish people are bloodsuckers, I think is the term that was used, that's a racist statement. I don't care who made it. It's a bigoted statement. And, you know, civil rights, people don't understand, civil rights is not a black-white issue. It's anybody who's not achieving what they can. And I believe in equality for everybody, but I don't believe anyone is more equal than anybody else. I don't think just because you're black or just because you're white, you should have special privileges in society. You should be allowed to do things, or you should not be allowed to do things. Where I grew up in Boaz, you know, we didn't have separate drinking fountains. Heck, we didn't even have drinking fountains. And the only black person I knew was a guy who shined shoes in the barbershop my daddy cut hair, my granddaddy cut hair in. And all I knew about, he was the only black person I knew for years until we moved to Michigan and I went to a black school. But he was just the most wonderful storyteller I'd ever heard, and I loved to go sit in Big Daddy's barbershop and listen to the stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that, and so I didn't have any of the negative thing, and I never saw the mistreatment. I never saw the way it's been played up on TV. It probably went on, but I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. I know there. I didn't go to school with black kids until I went to Michigan. And their behavior was totally different from the way I had been brought up. I'd never had anybody go up and pull up my dress, you know, and totally out of control. The kids in the North and the kids in the South are totally different group of kids. And, of course, kids differ from school to school. But, you know, I don't think... You know, it's just like saying civil rights and people, you say civil rights and people automatically and immediately say black rights that begin to talk about that. But it's just like when you talk about chauvinist, you say the word chauvinist, people automatically think of a man who treats women poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what a chauvinist is. A chauvinist is anybody who thinks their group is superior to another group. You know, if you have six toes on your foot, you might be a chauvinist in that regard, thinking only people with six toes were great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So chauvinist is not like civil rights. The words have come to mean totally different meanings. Civil rights is anyone's rights. It's not black rights, or not white rights, or not Nazi rights. But I think that we've got to quit stepping around the issue, and it's like no one will stand up and say that this individual who is calling the Jews bloodsuckers is a racist. And he is. He's talking about an inferior race. He, a black man, who has fought his whole life, I'm sure, of course, he sounds a whole lot like Malcolm X, but, you know, they've had to deal with statements regarding their race, and here all of a sudden they're downing someone else of a different race. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, if you're the underdog, you're going to make someone underdog. You know, you don't put yourself up by putting somebody else down.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner people quit saying, I saw a black student who wrote an article from JSU about being an American, not an African-American, but an American. And that's where that mindset has got to be established before you can quit all this kicking and meandering about between the races. You know, you've got to have the mindset of being a unified group instead of making those distinctions, because, you know, I'm Native American, Native American Germanic, and I don't go around throwing that in people's faces and say, well, you've got to treat me really special and give me, you know, all this stuff because I'm Native American. It doesn't work that way. If you want something, you got to work for it. You know, and don't sit there and say, because I am, you give to me. And definitely don't, you're in no position, no one's in any position to put anybody else down. But I think that the civil rights movement had its place. And I think, yes, there were injustices, and yes, they need to be changed. But like I said, I grew up in a little rural country town.
Mm-hmm.
People over there didn't want to be there, much less people coming in from outside, so we never had any problem. But I didn't see the things that were going on. But I'm sure they're not lies. I'm sure they were going on. And yeah, those things needed to be stopped. But what is the goal and the aim of it now? Of the civil rights movement, is it looking for rights for all Americans or for a select group? There is no white Miss America pageant.
Mm-hmm.
There is no white entertainment TV network. You know, and if a white individual were to stand up and say, "Well, all black folks are Uncle Toms or whatever," anything derogative you could say.
Mm-hmm.
The press would jump on it immediately, and they will not do it because this individual who is making the blockbuster statements is God. That's not civil rights. He is invading my civil rights because I have had Jewish friends,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's being totally unfair. But nobody's going to call him on it.
There it goes. Okay, we had another telephone break. Okay, and then this last question. Okay, what are some problems you see in the school system, and what are some ideas you have about changing?
Some of the problems are like, you know, things that well, I was talking to a friend of mine this afternoon, tenure with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But he was complaining because there wasn't a merit award for good teachers. And my contradiction to that is, it's not fair to teachers. Because, I mean, how are you going to give a teacher a merit pay? You know, that's always been talked about, and everybody goes, yeah, that's great and wonderful. But what are you going to base it on? Mm-hmm. Student performance? That's not fair. I'm four honors classes. Is it going to be fair to put my performance, my student's performance against another teacher's? And what are we going to do? Are we going to do their grades in class, or are we going to do their test scores?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I've got the honors kids, they're going to do better on the test. That's not fair. So I don't think you can do it on student performance. And I don't know who's a good judge of the teachers, because I've been in it long enough to know there are a lot of teachers who can talk shop real well,
mm-hmm.
and can't handle kids in the classroom. I've worked with many, many people like that. And they had rather talk shop and be on committees and philosophize and then to teach a kid how to write a thesis statement. That's boring to them. But they can sit there and just pour forth all these wonderful things that they've read in journals and magazines and all. And that's great and wonderful, but it's not practical.
Mm-hmm.
I get upset about the teachers who have tenure who don't need to be in teaching. But then again, how do you weed them out? And is 3 years a long enough time to let a teacher become a good teacher? Because a teacher doesn't walk in the door being a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to deal with kids and how to respond in certain situations. And there again, you've got, you said, well, they do observations. Yeah, my principal comes in formally 2 or 3 times a year to observe my classes. I could spend the rest of the 170-something days playing Scrabble and then put on this magnificent performance for the 3 days he came in to observe and not be a good teacher. You know, anybody could do that. Of course, he's in my room many, many times. I'm on the same floor as the office, and it's real convenient to stop by my room, and he's got anything to tell me. And so he's in and out of my room a lot. But you know, that's okay. A lot of people are in and out of my room. It's quite grand and frustration. But, you know, what about the teachers that don't get surprise visits and aren't doing anything? And then there again, you know, you might come in my room one day when the kids are doing group work on projects, and it looks like total chaos in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who's going to decide what I mean? So that's a problem. I say, yeah, I'd like to see teachers. I'd like to see teachers pay be even a third what a professional athlete makes. we're entertainment. We're alive. You know, is that where our emphasis as a society is? And who's going to change it? Well, certainly not us.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we could change that. And are we going to give up their salaries to increase teachers' pay? I don't think so. But, you know, that's... We're working, and everybody goes, public service. And then I start looking at what civil service jobs pay. There's no equality in what a teacher makes when you start looking at the salaries that we've got. And people go, oh, well, you know, you're a teacher because of dedication. Dedication doesn't pay AMSAM. You know, so mm-hmm. I that's probably one of my biggest complaints is the amount of education and experience that I've had to get for my jobs because I've got 2 masters now. Because mm-hmm. I didn't want an EDS, I didn't want a PhD, I didn't want to go any further than a master's, so I got 2 masters. And I don't think that I'm paid suitably for my job. I've had kids who've graduated and have not gone on, you know, they've gone to like technical schools, but they've gotten jobs where they started out making what I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's there's something that's not balanced there. That bothers me. Parental support. I'd like to see more parental support. I don't know how you can mandate that, but it's a dream. You know, mm-hmm. if we're going to put out a wish list, we might as well put the real wishful things on it. I'd like to see a more equitable way of judging test scores, and I'd like to see less competition on that. I don't think that test scores make better students,
mm-hmm.
or I don't think they make better college students or high school students. I'd like to see kids there be some way of rewarding kids when they do good things.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of that. We're real quick to point out and hop on the phone and call mom and daddy when the kid messes up, but we don't have any way of flagging and saying, look how wonderful this child just did. Now, it might be that they went 2 whole days without, you know, screaming out in class or hitting someone or what, you know. We need to find some way to reinforce positive behavior rather than recognizing bad behavior all the time. And we need to give kids a chance. There are some kids that start out on the wrong road and get in with the wrong crowd. And then when they try to break away, they've got that mindset going with adults around them. They're bad kids, and they'll always be bad kids. But you've got to give them a chance, because I've seen kids really turn their lives around and try to. And then get put down 3 or 4 times and say, what's the use?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always going to be a loser. What else would I wish for? I wish for, in my honors classes, I like to have 1.5 hours instead of just 1 hour because we get started and then the bell rings. I'd like to see academic teachers get along with the sports department a lot better. I get so sick of hearing them talk about the supplements they get, and that's discouraging. I like to see more teachers encourage young people to do things that they, you know, that they can do and they want to do. our counseling staff is great, but I have heard counselors tell students before that they're not college material, and these same students have gone on to do well in college and have good professional lives. But that's a slap in the face for a kid. You know, if a kid has a weakness, then I'm not saying ignore it, but I'm saying you lead off with their strong points, and then they'll accept their weaknesses a whole lot better, and it helps them adapt and so with them. And plus, we don't know everything. Mm-hmm. You know, who are we to judge? Because we're not perfect. If we were, we'd be making $1 million and having our house cleaned by 15 servants and mails for